Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, baby. Are you guys hyped? I hope so, because I am. Praise God. Took a sip of the Holy Ghost juice this morning, also known as coffee. And I'm ready to go. It is kombucha. Praise God. Good job, Ken. I'll get you your promotional fee later. But I'm praising God this morning, y'all. I got to share something with you. I saw during the offerings, kids opening up their wallets. Kids opening up their wallets. You know how awesome it is that not only is God moving in the hearts of adults, but in the hearts of young people to open up and say, I want to be a part of what God is doing. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And don't think that I didn't see during that women's video the robot get broken out. I saw it. I'm praising God. Isn't it awesome to be able just to gather together with the saints, be yourself, praise God, give him glory in all your weird self? Listen, there's no one weirder in this church than me. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. I am a grown man with WWE championship belts in my office. I even have wrestling masks. It's great. I am a child at heart. You know why? Because I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil tell you you're too old to do anything. All right? I'm gonna be a child until I'm 99. And then when I get to 100, maybe I'll mature a little bit. But until then, I'm gonna be my wacky self. I'm gonna be my wacky self for Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to do, okay? You know I like to get interactive here with you guys, okay? Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone. I want you to take your cell phones out real quick. I want you to take your cell phones out real quick. I want you to open up your cell phone. I want you to go into your contacts. Just scroll randomly. Scroll randomly and let the Lord choose somebody. Come on, I see you. Choose someone randomly. I want you to choose that contact, right? Did you choose them? All right, call them right now. Call them right now. I said call them right now. Did you hit call? Did you hit call? I said call. Call. Did you call? Hang up, hang up, hang up. Hang up. Hang up. Now everybody has somebody to talk to about this sermon later. I don't want to hear nobody say that you don't have someone to talk to about Jesus today. Because I can guarantee if I go through your contact list right now, there's at least one person who doesn't know who Jesus is. And if you didn't do what I told you to do, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will convict you later. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell y'all right now, typically, you know, I go in, I do a little illustration, and then I say, let's pray. But I'm too hyped right now. So we're going to start off with the prayer right now. All right? All right? Let's do it. Lord, we just come before you this morning and we give you thanks, oh God. We give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your wisdom. We give you thanks for your endurance. We give you thanks for your strength, oh God. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that today we would have the ears to hear and the eyes to see what you've prepared for all of us today, oh God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that your word would pierce hearts, oh God. Go through flesh, go through bones. Pierce the spirits, oh God, of your people. Lord, both here and this house, those online, and even those, Heavenly Father, who might catch just a little bit as they drive by, oh God. I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord God, would be a penetrating spirit today, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for what is about to take place in your house today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. Well, I'm praising God today. For those of you guys who've noticed, you know, I'm a little bit darker today. The nice weather has finally hit. So I was out in the garden. I was tearing up weeds, pulling up dirt. Pastor was getting dirty, right? But then I forgot the sun takes no prisoners. And I came back in and I thought to myself, wow, man, I got dirty out there. I took a shower, I came out, and I was just as dark as I came out as I went in. And I was like, oh, man. I had to pray right then and there. I said, Lord, cover me from sunburn because I'm preaching this Sunday and I move a lot with long sleeves and a three-piece. So, Lord, don't let it rub me the wrong way in Jesus' name. But I was out there, I was working, and it was warmer in New York than when we were in California. Still trying to figure that out. But while we were in California for our pastor's conference, we finally were able to gather together and with the other pastors of the United States, of Canada, our missionaries from all over the world, we were able to hang out with all of them. And our first morning there, I woke up, they told me there was a food truck outside. And I went to the food truck because, as most of you guys know, I enjoy food. And I go and I order breakfast. And then by the time my wife and I are done ordering breakfast, I came to the quick realization that if I continue to eat breakfast at this food truck, I'm going to need another job when I get home. I have never had to pay close to three digits for breakfast. I said, this must be some San Diego pricing. And so I said to myself, a couple of days later, I found that there was a Starbucks in the area. I said, if I'm going to pay $4 for a tall cup of black coffee, I'm going to make it bougie. So I start walking, and I always like to capitalize on my time because I don't have a lot of time where it's just me by myself, right? I have two children, I have my wife, we have the church, we have our job, we have this company, we have all these things that we're doing. You very seldom get a time where it's just you by yourself and there's going to be no interruptions. I was walking to the street, anything could have happened, but I capitalized on that time. And as I'm walking, I start having a conversation with God. I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm not just sitting at a desk. I'm not, right? We don't have to, when we're talking to God, there doesn't have to be a certain dim level to the lights. There doesn't have to be candles and music playing and Latin and this, that, the other. There doesn't have to be a mood set. God just wants you, okay? So when I'm walking, I'm like, hey, Lord, how's it going? You know, here in California, and on my way to get some coffee. I'm just having a conversation with God. And as I was walking, I came across this tree. And I looked at this tree. I was like, wow, that is a huge tree. Those roots, they're massive. Those branches, they're extending out so far. I said, this is a nice tree. Took a picture. Right? Because everyone's got a camera in their pocket now. So as I took the picture, I just kept walking. I thought to myself, that was a pretty tree. But as I continued to walk towards Starbucks, I could not get this image of this tree out of my mind. And I start going, I get to Starbucks, and I see a group of people there from the conference, and I recognize them. I don't know them. I'm not Pastor Shelley, who apparently knows the entire FCA, and the entire FCA knows him. When they ask me, what church are you a part of? I'm like, I'm in New York. I'm part of Orange County Gospel. A shell! I don't even finish. They're like, it's Shell. I'm like, yes, yes, right? But I'm standing there. I order my coffee, and I see the group of people there. And they're in deep conversation. But as I look past them, I see a man behind them. And clearly you could see that he was a homeless man, right? And then I'm like, my heart is aching. I turn around. And when I turn around, on the other side, there was a little bit of a high wall on the other side. And you can see that there's another man. And you can clearly see that that man is homeless. And I'm like, wow. And all of a sudden, that image of the tree comes back yet again. And I'm starting to really have this tree minister to me. Not in like a new agey kind of way, all right? I'm not praying to trees. But all of a sudden, I hear God. I hear God. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm hearing an audible voice, okay? When your spirit is connected to God, your spirit knows when God is talking. All right? And so I'm hearing from God, and I hear the question, why are you here? I said, that's easy. I'm here for a conference. I'm here to receive. And for the first time in a long time, just sit down and not have to do nothing. Again, God says, why are you here? Conviction. And I realized that God continues to ask the question because he's trying to tell me, just because you're here to receive at this conference doesn't give you the right to put on the shelf the purpose that I've placed you on this earth for, and that is to serve. Just because you go somewhere for a certain intention doesn't put the purpose that God has placed in you on the side. And I said, God, you're right. And immediately I turn around, I'm looking for the homeless people, they're gone. Gone. So I start walking back, I'm gonna go bring this to this stuff to my wife, and I tell her what's going on, and immediately, first question, did you do something for the homeless people? I said, no, they were just gone. And she goes, oh. I was like, yeah, that was my response too. But the rest of the time that I was at the conference, I was being poured into like never before, because it's been a long time since we all gathered together. And when you have a room full of saints, that's great. But when you have a room full of pastors, preachers, missionaries, and they are all there for the sake of saying, I'm going to take what they're giving to me here and we're going out and doing something about it, there's a shift of the spirit that takes place. If your leaders, when they get together, don't move the earth, find another church. Because if your leaders aren't moving the earth, the people who attend aren't going to move dirt. And so I'm getting poured into. And our second to last night that we're there, we're going to get some food. I'm pushing the stroller around. And as we're going towards this corner store, this burrito place, because it's San Diego, you go to San Diego, you eat burritos, right? That's what you do. It's like when you go to New York City, you eat pizza. That's just what you do. And as I'm going, I see a man on the corner. For some reason, he's familiar. I've never been to San Diego. I don't know who this guy is. I can't tell you if it's one of the homeless guys that I saw. All I know is that he looked familiar, and I heard God say him. So I turn. I gave the stroller to my wife, Gina. I said, babe, the rest of the group is over there. I need to go talk to this guy. As I turn back around to the corner, I see this man reaching into the garbage, pulling out a styrofoam, opening it up, and getting ready to eat the food that was in the garbage. I immediately went and grabbed him. Dirty, just looking like he was homeless, smelled, grabbed him. Because you know what? When I was dirty, when I wasn't lovable, Jesus went and grabbed me. I grabbed him. I said, brother, can I get you something fresh to eat? The confusion on his face was incredible. It was as if somebody had seen him for the first time. He said, yeah. I said, put that back in the garbage and come with me. Went into the restaurant. I said, what do you want? He said, all I need is a bean and rice burrito. I said, is that all you want? He said, that's all I need. And I said, do you want something to drink? He says, I guess I'll have a Coke. And I was like, is that all you want? He says, no, that's all I need. This man, in all of his need, all of his want, all of his desire, I could give him anything he wanted. He says, I don't want more than what I need. And I didn't push it. I didn't say, man, I want to give you more. No, I said, what is that all you want? It's all I need. So I give him the food, and you can see the person at the register, he's just super confused. He doesn't know what's happening. So I give him, he gets the food, and when he gets the food, I grab his hand, and I said, "Brother, I just want to let you know Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you." And I wish I could tell you that the heavens opened up, this guy went down to his knees, and he decided that he needed a savior in his life. I wish I could tell you all of that stuff, but that's not what happened. I shook his hand, said, "Jesus loves you." He said, "Thanks." That's it.
"Thanks."
And I went about my business. Because when you sow a seed, you don't stand there and force it to grow. Right? And that moment wasn't about him. It even wasn't about me. That moment was about Jesus and the decision of whether or not I would be obedient to what it is he said to do. So often we want to go out and we want to do the Lord's work and everything like that. And we're going and we're going and we're going and we're expecting these marvelous, miraculous results. Notice how when God called me to speak to this person and provide for this person, my first reaction wasn't to grab my cell phone and make a TikTok about it. My first reaction wasn't to get my phone and make a YouTube video about it so that everybody could see how righteous I am. No. The word tells me, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Let people keep their dignity while giving them something to eat, not just in the physical, but in the spirit. Be obedient to God, regardless of who's watching, regardless of how many likes you're getting, regardless of the reaction that you're getting. God says, move, you move. And then all of a sudden, again, this tree comes back into my heart. And I began to really just, God, you've got to get this tree out of my brain. And so I started to look at the tree, and I looked at the tree at its roots. I said, God, look at those roots. Those roots, they just seem like they have a purpose. Those roots, they serve a purpose, God. They're not just growing randomly. And so I began to do some research on trees. And I began to learn something about roots. The first root that comes out of a seed is called a taproot. It's that first little root that pops out of the seed when it starts to grow. It's kind of like that scene from Jurassic Park with the velociraptor. He's like, click, click, click. Little nail comes, or not a nail, it got claws, it's a raptor, right? It's that first root that pops out. That root continues to grow and grow and grow before you ever see anything happening on the surface. The deepest recorded taproot, I can't remember the exact number, but it was around 600 feet deep into the earth. Because it continues to grow as the tree matures. And do you know that it doesn't matter what's in the way of a root? There could be a solid rock, and over time, that root won't grow around it, won't grow above it. That root will grow right through it. Because the root says, I have a plan, I have a purpose, I have a mission, and there's no devil in hell that's going to stop me from getting to it. And if a tree understands that, God help us that we don't. The taproot continues to grow. The next root that I learned was the oblique root. It's a primary root. The purpose that root serves is to go out and find water. To go out and find water. So once the taproot begins to grow, it gets the nutrients that it needs. And once it gets the nutrients that it realizes that it needs, those next roots begin to grow and says, now we need water. And it begins to go out. The next root were the lateral roots. Those roots, those create the support structure of the tree. Those are the roots that you see above the ground that was in that picture. Those are the lateral roots, and their purpose is to go out and give a base to the tree so that when the storms hit, when the waves hit, and the tree rocks back and forth, those roots say, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere because we are the support system for this tree. The next root that I learned about were sinker roots. Those grow out of your lateral roots. The purpose of those roots is to find the nutrients that the tree needs. So from the foundation of the tree's roots grow other roots that give it the nutrients that it needs to survive. I want you to remember about all this stuff. The last root are secondary roots. And these roots, to me, were the most eye-opening roots of the system. You see, they're less than about 2 millimeters in diameter. Tiny roots. They grow and they die. Waves at a time. They grow. They get the nutrients that the tree needs from that area, and then they die. But what I found most interesting was that sometimes those secondary roots become lateral roots. What was originally purposed for a season becomes part of the support system of the tree. Now, you ready for this? Because you know I'm going to start talking about you. The church, not you as individuals. Some of us treat secondary roots as if they're already primary roots. Some of us treat lateral roots as if they're secondary roots in our life. Because you see, God brings us to different places in our life, right? And he wants us to have a good support structure. He wants us to have a good foundation. But he also puts secondary roots in our life so that we can get what we need to continue to grow where we need to grow and go where it is that we need to go. But the problem is that we don't have the recognition, the discernment to know when something's a secondary root versus when God wants it to be a lateral root. We don't know when something's a lateral root when God says it should be a secondary root. God brings a good woman, a good man into your life for a season, and you treat that person like he or she is a secondary root when God says, wife that woman up, make that man your husband, and make him part of your support structure. But for some reason, we see the one that it's not, and we say, God, this is the lateral root. This is the lateral root. And God says, no, I have a purpose for that person in your life, but it's not to be there forever. It's the same thing with your friends. No, this is my ride and die friend, Lord. No, that person is in your life for a season. I need you to let go of that person so that you can come to the person that I need you to be with so that they can be able to become a lateral root in your life and become part of your foundation. God brings you into a church, and he says, this is the church that I want you in right now. Pay attention, listen, receive. And then God's trying to tell you, this church is supposed to be a part of your foundation, not just a secondary root. But for some reason, when people come to church, the first thing they want to do is find what's wrong, when God is trying to get you to understand not what's wrong in the church, but what's wrong with you and how can the church fix it. Because the church is supposed to be a part of your lateral root system, not a secondary root in your life. And we go on, and we're living in this life, and we continue to figure out what's a secondary, what's a lateral. And I'm not saying you're going to make the right decision every time. We all fall short of the glory, but I want to bring you back to the original root, and that's the tap root. Because you see, as all of these other roots are growing, there's one root that's never stopped. There's one root that's never stopped growing in the process, and that's the tap root. And the tap root in your life better be Jesus. It better be Jesus. Because as all these other things are growing in your life, help us, God, if we don't continue to nurture the taproot in our life. Help us, God, if we don't continue to grow deeper in God. Help us, oh God, if we don't address when the taproot is hurting. And only when we have that root system that God has for us in place will we ever begin to see growth in our life. Will we ever begin to see growth in our life? Hebrews 5, 12 to 14, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant." I know sometimes I feel like God is sitting up in heaven and he's looking down at his church and all he sees is a bunch of kitty cats drinking milk from a dish when he's saying, "Where are my lions that are ready to eat some food? Where are my lions who are ready for some meat? Put the dish away and go out and do something for me." Church isn't meant for you to just come in, sit down and feel good about yourself. I'm talking to the church as a whole. The church as a whole. It's great. Listen, right here, boom, online. I'm talking to you right now too. It is all fine, great, and dandy to watch online. But don't let the devil use an excuse to stop you from coming into the house of God and getting yourself some meat and going out into the world and sharing what God has given to you. And we're going to talk more about that later too. And it goes on, it says, "Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." To discern good and evil. To be able to discern when a secondary root is a secondary root. To be able to discern when a lateral root is a lateral root. Because lateral roots, they begin to grow out obliques, or they begin to grow out other roots to allow you to be fed, not die. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So today we're going to be talking about going from roots to fruit in your life. From root to fruit in your life. And so we started in Proverbs 12, 1 to 3. "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." Love the word of God. In verse 2, "A good man will obtain favor from the Lord, but he will condemn a man who devises evil. A man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will not be moved." And so you could say, "Pastor, well, how can I develop the root system of the righteous? How can I make sure that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do?" Well, let's go into Matthew 13, 1 to 9, where Jesus begins to share the parable of the sower. It says that day Jesus, he went out to the house and was sitting by the sea. And large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat, sat down, and the whole crowd standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up." Just came and just said, "Whoop, dinner," and just took it away. Sometimes when that seed is getting sown, it just goes. It just goes. But that doesn't stop the sower from sowing. Right? It doesn't stop the sower from sowing. It says, "Others, it fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away." Sometimes people have a knowledge of who Jesus is. They understand what the word of God says. They may be intelligent, but they have zero experience with who Jesus is. A transformation takes place here, not here first. Okay? And if the transformation doesn't take place here first, at the first time that you get someone to oppose you, when you go out with the knowledge of Jesus, it gets too hot. The pressure becomes too much. And because you have no experience with Jesus, you have no root system with Jesus, you don't have even a tap root with Jesus, you become scorched and wither away. That is what we call a false conversion. That is a false conversion. Because if people really knew the Jesus that I know, I don't care how hot it gets, you're going to have to melt me before I call on any other name. You're going to have to burn me up before I call on any other name. You're going to have to make sure that I'm dead at least 3 days. At least 3 days you're going to have to make sure I'm there, because I will mess around. And Jesus, I say, I will be having a praying family. You see my children? I have a 2-year-old that he's like praising God. They will pray and I will be like, whoop, okay, I'm not done yet. And even when I'm dead, praise God, use my bones to bring life to other people. Use my bones, oh God. Like I said, you're never too old to do God's work. Even dead people can do God's work. Woo, you hearing me, church? You hearing me? It goes on, others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Sometimes God gets you to develop some roots. Sometimes you get some growth in your life, but you don't realize God told you get out of the position that you're in so you can experience real growth. Because if you stay where you are, there's going to be thorns that start to come around you to try and choke you out. I know when I got saved the first time, I had a bunch of heathens for friends. And they would come up to me and they're like, ah, it's Ralph. Okay, that's just another phase. He's born again. It's just a phase. That phase will end. And I said, you're right. It is a phase and it will end when I hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because that's the only time that this phase is going to end in my life. And they've been waiting for over 10 years for that phase to shift. And they're still doing what they're doing, and I'm still doing what I'm doing. And I tell you what, God's never failed me yet. And I've seen a lot of negative posts from them. I'm not saying my life is perfect. I'm not saying that everything is great, fuzzy, and peaches and rainbows and unicorns, okay? But what I'm saying is that Jesus is greater than any problem I've ever faced in my life. That's all I'm saying. And now I'm about to say something that's going to be real hard. You ready? I don't know, but we'll see. We're going to start with the ladies. We're going to start. Oh, now they're like, oh, wait, hold on. Ladies, I'm not just speaking about the ladies here. I'm talking about women across the church. I'm talking about women across the church, the body of God. You have men in your life. You have men in your life that want to do the work of God. But the problem is you don't want your man to love anyone more than you. You don't want anything, anyone else, for your man to love more than you. I'm sorry to tell you, if your man doesn't love God more than you, he doesn't love you. Because Jesus is love. And if he doesn't have Jesus, he doesn't have love. And if he doesn't have love, he can't give you what he doesn't have. But I'm an equal opportunity pastor. Men. Some of you have women who've been pushing you to do the work of God. But you'll use everything under the sun as an excuse not to. You'll use your job. You'll use your wife. You'll use your kids. You'll use your condition. You'll use everything under the sun not to do what God has called you to do. I just had my lead pastor doing invocation today. Why? Why? I am looking at men who could perfectly well answer the call of God to read a scripture. Perfectly well. And it's not because Pastor Michal's not here. He has a life too. It's not because the Maldonados are not here. They have lives too. I'm looking at the men who are here and there online. God is saying, where are the men? Because, men, you are heads of your household. Don't let the devil cut you off. Do not let the devil cut you off. I'm telling you right now, when it comes to thorn bushes, everyone looks on the outside. You know who's the number one worst thorn bush in our lives? Ourselves. 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 Today's day and age, all it takes is a cough and a tickled throat for someone to say, I'm not coming to church. I was walking, and people would be like, I was walking and felt faint. Can't go to see Jesus. I'm being honest. I'm just being honest. Remember in the beginning, I told you to go through your phone. Call somebody. Tell them about the Lord. Right? If we didn't let thorns choke us out, you wouldn't have a seat empty next to you. Because something stops us. And I'm not preaching just to you. I'm preaching to me. Something stops us sometimes when God's telling us to go and talk to somebody. And the devil is like, no, hold on. Look over here, please. Look over here. Please look over here. And by the time you look back, the person that God told you to speak to is gone. Just like those two homeless people when I was at Starbucks. Don't think I'll ever say anything from this pulpit that doesn't apply to me first. Everything I say applies to me first. Again, if when your leaders gather, the earth doesn't shake, change houses. And it goes on into verse 8, and this is the kind of thing that we want in our life. Others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And I hear all the time, Lord, I want a 30, 60, 100-fold blessing in my life. But you see, you missed the part. It says that you need to yield a crop first. You need to yield a crop first before you get the 30, 60, 100-fold blessing in your life. People want $1 million they want $1 million blessing but want to do a 10-cent investment. That's not how this works. When God wants you to do something and you want to see God do something, and I'm not talking a little thing, I'm talking about a big thing. Like when you're saying, God, I need healing from cancer. I'm not saying that God is going to meet you where you are and say, all right, just because you did this, I'm going to give you a healing. But I can guarantee you something, that if you've got something like cancer in your life and you're not giving it to God, I'll take my chances giving it to God rather than leaving it to myself because I'm not strong enough. How do I know? Because years ago, I've told you before, doctors told me that I wouldn't walk again. God said, no. No. I had doctors tell me that when I was diagnosed with PTSD, that I would probably not be able to live a normal life again. God said, no. I don't know about you, but every time I preach, my Fitbit tells me I did an aerobic exercise. Go ahead, the doctor could tell me one thing, but Jesus tells me another. And I don't care how many years you've been doing medical stuff. I don't care how long you've been professing as a doctor. My God's been professing as my Savior before I existed. He was Jehovah Rapha before you were Dr. Anything. It was Jehovah Nisi before you were anything. So don't tell me who's my provider and who my healer is. Now, I'm not saying I'm not saying go home and just take your blood pressure medication and flush it down the toilet. Be wise, people. Be wise. I'm not telling you to go out into the world and be like, yeah, I ain't scared of nothing. And then all of a sudden, you're looking like Frogger on a losing level. Getting run over. What I'm saying is, when you put God in your life and let him go ahead of you, step in his footprints. Because where his footprints are, there are no explosions. Amen. Amen. There are no mines. When you go through a minefield, when they're training you in the military, they always tell you, if you see footprints in the ground, step in them. Because that means they actually made it. And then when you get to the part where there's a big hole, you might be able to step in there because it's already done. But I suggest you pray before you pass it. That's a minefield. We're talking Jesus. His steps go on for eternity. And you don't have to play a guessing game. Because he's already gone ahead of you. And you can't outrun Jesus. You can look in the wrong direction, but you can't outrun Jesus. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He is the end. He knows the end of your story. He's just waiting for you to catch up. 30, 60, 100-fold blessing. God, help me to yield a crop in my life. Lord God, he who has ears, let him hear. Are you hearing today, church? Are you hearing today, church? And so we go and we say, God, all right, I get it. I'm not one of the people who didn't understand your parable, and I get it. I've got to develop a root system. I've got to be in good soil. I need to allow myself to grow. But Lord, what happens next? What do I do next? Well, I go to Galatians 5, verse 16 to 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For they are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You see, the flesh and the Spirit, they're like oil and vinegar. They just don't mix. They just don't mix. But like oil and vinegar, you're able to tell the difference between oil and vinegar. Here's my question. Can people tell the difference between you and the world? Can people tell the difference between you and the world? Or are you like water and food coloring, where you become one and can't tell the difference between one and the other? I'm talking to the church, not just the people in these seats. Because the word of God is reaching way past these doors. And it goes on, it tells us, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pastor, how do I know that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do? How do I know that I'm doing what God has called me to do? Well, let me help you. Are you doing things like immorality? Are you still watching porn? Yeah, I said porn from the pulpit. I did. Are you still watching it? Are you still lusting after other women with sensuality, impurity? Are you looking at other men the same way? In today's day and age, it doesn't matter if you're a man or woman. I can ask the same question of both. Idolatry, sorcery. Sorcery, and it's not just talking about where you're sitting in a dark room, you're putting a circle in the ground with candles and everything like that. Sorcery is way bigger than that. Sorcery is way bigger than that. You've got this whole crystal business. I don't know what that's about. You got the whole secret. The secret. Listen, I'm telling you right now, if there's anything that brings you blessings that's a secret, it ain't Jesus, because he's public. Very public. He is not anything that you need to tell someone behind closed doors. He is very, very public. Sorcery goes beyond all of that. What are you putting into your eyes, right? What are you putting into your eyes? And it goes on. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a big Marvel fan. Huge Marvel fan. And even I'm on the fence about watching this new movie, Doctor Strange. Because there's a lot of sorcery and stuff in those movies. You know, a lot of people, they talk smack about things like anime and talk about things like pornographic films. The devil doesn't come dressed in a tight red suit with a pitchfork and a tail. The devil comes in the form of entertainment that you enjoy. So I'm on the fence. I really am on the fence. Now, if I go to watch this movie, I'm telling you right now, if God tells me, you're done. Guess what? You're done. You're done. Okay? If I go back to my vomit, that's my problem. So when we go back to our vomit, don't blame other people. It's your tongue that's licking it up. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Are you getting angry at people for no reason? Are you getting crazy for no reason? Don't let me catch you guys on 17. Don't let me. I'm going to find you. You know you're just going to be driving one day. Pastor going to have a new car. You're not going to know his pastor. You're going to be doing 85. You're going to come up right behind me. You're going to be like, meow, 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 meow. Oh. Then I'm going to see you on Sunday, and you're going to be like, and I'm just going to be like, hey, brother, what's up? I'm just going to keep walking because it's not my job to condemn. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. So that's between you and God. As for me and my household, we'll do 65. Disputes, dissensions, factions, breaking up the church, breaking up relationships, breaking up marriages, envying, drunkenness, carousing. How do I know these things? Because ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to tell you something here. All of these things that I just read were me. They were me. They were me. Everyone sees pastors now, and they're like, I wish I can get my life together like pastor, but I got news for you. I was a hot mess. A hot mess. I'm going to say it one more time. A hot mess. And when God came into my life and I began to realize, I said, God, I need you to deliver me from all of these things. All of these things from drugs, alcohol, women, promiscuity, from sorcery, from all of these different things in my life. I said, God, you need to take all of it. Because if you don't take all of it, I know who I am. And if you don't take all of it, I'll be right back to where I was. But I want to be where you want me to be. So he went, delivered me from all those things. Hallelujah. Delivered me from all those things. And I began to realize the less that I did, well, I didn't do those things anymore, but the less that I fed the flesh, the more something else happened by default. And when I say feed the flesh, look, I'm not perfect, okay? Again, I'm not perfect. I need to get that straight. All right, because even in the midst of me taking my testimony and I was going around and I was saying, look, God delivered me. He delivered me from drugs. He delivered me from alcohol. He delivered me from this. He delivered me from that. And if he did it for me, there's no excuse for you. I began to realize God did this thing in me and I was using my testimony as a weapon. And I realized there was still one thing God hadn't delivered me from, pride. Don't let your testimony become a weapon of the enemy. And use it as pride. Just because God did something to me in a radical way doesn't mean that that's the way it happens for everybody. For some people, they need to go through a process. You let them go through that process. And stay away from doing these things that God is telling you about. And when you stay away from doing those things, something else happens by default. Like I said, I began to realize in my life that I began to have more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, goodness, faithfulness was bounding in me. I had more gentleness. I had more self-control. Because against those things, there is no law. Pastor, how do I know the things that I'm doing are the things that God wants me to do? Easy. Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Do you have patience, kindness, goodness? Are you faithful? Yes. Faithful. That is such a hard thing, y'all. And I'm not just talking about relationships. It's hard to be faithful to do something when you say yes to God. You don't think that it's a fight to come up here every Sunday for Pastor Shelley? You don't think it's a fight every Monday night to go out to men's prayer? You don't think it's a fight every Wednesday to run the youth ministry? Y'all, you only have to deal with your kids. I have to deal with all of them in one room for hours. Every week. Do you know how much imbalance hormones I have in a room? God knows I needed the next thing. Gentleness and self-control. But that's the beauty of God. When you don't do the things of the flesh, all of a sudden, this fruit begins to grow. I have rose bushes in the front of my house. I have not watered them once this year. Brian, he comes to cut the grass. He'll tell you they're huge. Everything on my property is huge. It's crazy. You cut my grass on a Wednesday. You come back next Wednesday. I've got like 4 inches of grass. And he makes the joke and he says, Pastor, how come your neighbor's grass doesn't grow so high? And I told him, I said, Brian, it's because my grass is anointed. Because everything in my property produces growth. So once you step on my property, you experience growth. Next thing you know, I got one of my neighbors asking him, hey, how much to cut my grass? Growth. Growth. Right? God causes everything to grow. And so, God, am I doing what it is that you call me to do? Very easy. Just go here to this verse. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its desires. Lord, I want you to take this anger from me. Lord, I want you to take this promiscuity from me. Lord, I want you to take this pornography from me, oh God. God, yeah, I keep saying pornography because somebody needs to hear it today. God, take all of this from me and pin it to that cross. And when I pin it to that cross, go, God, help me to turn and walk away from it. Help me to turn and walk away from it, and don't let the devil try to drag me back to it. For if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Walk in the righteousness that God has called you to walk in. And we say, God, all right, I've got the root system. I've got the fruits, Lord God. So, Lord, what comes next? What comes next? Well, let us not become boastful, challenging one another. Let us not envy one another. As God continues to bring bring an abounding blessing into your life, don't get jealous when he blesses someone else more. Don't get jealous when he blesses somebody else more. God, I've got a great car outside, but did you see the one next to me? Why can't I have that? God, I've got a nice house, but I just went to go visit somebody. Why can't I have that? Don't challenge one another in a negative sense by challenging someone just to help break them down so you can make yourself look bigger. If you want to challenge somebody, challenge them to be better than you. Don't envy one another. I don't know about you, but every time that I've ever been in the presence of someone that God has been blessing more than me, God says that that blessing gets pressed down, shaken together, and overflows. And if it overflows, God, I want to be so close to that person that it pours out onto me. Let me get some, God. Let me get some of this one over here, God. Because when God blesses somebody in your circle, it's not just for them, it's for you too. When God blesses you, it's not just for you, it's for them too. So don't be envious. Be amazed at what God is doing. Be amazed at what God is doing. And as you go on into 2 Kings 19, verses 29 to 33, then this shall be the sign for you. You will eat this year what grows of itself. In the second year, what springs from the same. In the third year, you will sow, you will reap, you will plant vineyards, and you will eat of their fruit. God is saying that once you have the root system established, once you start to get fruit yielding from those roots, from that tree, he says the blessing's going to be so bountiful, you're not only going to be able to eat this year, year, but you're going to eat next year too. You're going to eat next year too. And then when you eat next year, the third year, the blessings are going to continue to grow so long as you continue to tend to that root system, to tend to that tree. And God's going to tell you, you're going to take that stuff that I've given you. You're going to go ahead and you're going to sow it out. And you're going to go ahead and reap from that sowing. You're going to plant vineyards. Vineyards. Vineyards take up space. Vineyards take up acreage. So if God is pouring into you to a point where you can plant vineyards, it's because the blessings aren't just going to be blessings for you. They're going to be blessings for generations to come. They're going to be fruit that grow as a result of your seed. And because of that growth, more growth is going to come in vineyards that you have planted. So this way, when my son has children and his children has children and those children have children, they will be able to eat from the tree that God had put in me. Not because of anything, not because I'm so special, not because I'm so powerful, but for one reason and one reason alone, because the surviving remnants of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant and of Mount Zion survivors, and the zeal of the Lord will perform this. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. It is the zeal of the Lord that will let the remnant come out of Jerusalem. The zeal of the Lord that will let survivors come out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord that will let survivors come out of Goshen, New York, out of the Orange County Gospel Fellowship. The zeal of the Lord will make sure survivors come out of your families. A remnant be taken from your friends. It is the zeal of the Lord that will make sure these things happen, and as a result, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come to this city or shoot an arrow there. He will not come before it with a shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, by the same way he will return. And he shall not come to this city, declares the Lord. The enemy's going to mount up a siege against you. The king of Assyria, the king of this world, is going to mount up a siege against you. But God says, just develop that root system. Let me grow in you. Let me feed you. Let me guide you. Let me mold you. Let me shape you. And the enemy can try to come, but the same way that he came, I'll send him back and right back the way he came. I will send him back in the same way he got here. And why? Why? Because a man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will not be moved. Are you among the righteous today, church? Are you among the righteous today, church? Because if we are among the righteous, we will not be moved because of the accomplished redemption of Christ in our life. Because he has made an appearance in us, so we will make an appearance in the world, and we will proclaim and magnify the Lord together. Are you ready to proclaim? Are you ready to magnify? Then let's worship God together.
Let your spirit rise among us now as we sing.
A condemnation. The word of God is created to bring conviction. Conviction to allow us to do better. God wants to take a hammer and chisel away the things in your life that are stopping you from fully accepting who He is and what He's called you to do with your purpose. God wants to chip away at the things that the devil has been trying to grow in your life. Why? Why? Not to make yourselves look good. Not to make yourselves be boastful. But only so that the kingdom can continue to move forward. Thousands of years. People have been trying to silence the voice of God. I have an entire book of religions that have come and gone, but Jesus still remains. I have a book that talks about religions that are still here today, but only one talks about how there's nothing you can do to save yourself. But God was faithful enough to send His Son to do what we could not. So saints, today, I ask you, I implore you, I beg you, rise up. Rise up. The devil doesn't take a vacation from his kingdom. So neither should the soldiers of Christ. The enemy, the second you walk out these doors, is ready to hit you with his best shot. But when you walk out these doors, he won't be able to hit you. God will be right there to deflect the hit. And you might be shaken. You might be hurt. But you will not be uprooted. Because you serve a mighty God. So serve Him without restraint. Serve Him without hesitation. And bring the word to the world, because the world's trying to bring theirs to you. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let the world tell me how I should worship God. I'm not going to let the world tell me how I should act for God. If you think I'm wild and silly right now, wait until you see me outside these doors. Because I don't care if you're offended by the name Jesus. I don't care about your feelings. What I'm concerned about is your soul. And if I've got to hurt your feelings so Jesus can take a hold of your soul, then I'm going to take your feelings and bring them to the side. Because one day, you and I are going to be on a street of gold with rivers of milk and honey, and you're going to say, thank you for hurting my feelings so the devil couldn't take my soul. So Lord, we come before you today with hearts filled with thanks, oh God, for what you have done in our lives. And God, I pray that you would be able, oh God, to help us develop those roots in our life. Lord, help us to be able to grow rooted, oh God, so that the fruit can grow and vineyards can be planted, oh God. And your word, Heavenly Father, will go forth in power. Lord, use us while we're on this earth, oh God. Use us, oh God, so that the hurting can find hope. Use us so the sick can find healing. Use us so people can finally hear the name above all names. And that is the name in which we pray in today, Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Go make that public appearance for who your God is. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So let your spirit